Time for our what turned out to be an annual chat with members of the Quincy Police Department's Marine Unit. Mike Foley and Bob Bell are joining us again to talk about boating safety and about boating safety classes. So, hey guys, thanks a lot for virtually joining us here. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Our pleasure. Hopefully next time we can do this in person. But in the meantime, why don't we touch base a little bit on how this year's boating safety classes are going to look during a pandemic. And Bob, maybe we can touch base with you first and give us the latest and greatest breaking news on that.
So the state just got the green light to restart some safe boating classes. So Quincy's going to participate in that. We'll be running them at 50% capacity. We're still working on the schedule to try to get those set up. The first priority is going to go to the people that were signed up for last year and weren't unable to attend the classes when they were canceled. And then we'll try to fit anybody else in after that we can. But we've been going on a long streak that got interrupted last year, probably for 12 or 14 years, where we were teaching the safe boating classes. They meet three nights or three Saturday days for four. And we go over all the basics of boating safety to help educate people on how to stay safe on the water.
So are they still going to be at the Housneck Maritime Center?
Well, the Housneck Maritime Center was torn down. So we're looking to run them at the Housneck Community Center, which is a room inside of Manatee Community Health off of C Street. Unfortunately, it's a smaller room to begin with, and then we have to go to 50% capacity. So we'll be looking to have about 25 people per class.
Okay. And as in years past, do they have to sign up in advance, do you know?
Yes. For the people that were signed up for last year's classes, the lady Courtney from the Environmental Police will be reaching out to them to ask them if they want to attend this year's class first, and then we'll work out how we can add additional people onto that after we've gone through all those folks.
Okay, and who is eligible to take the classes?
Anyone that's 12 years old or older is allowed to take the class. They end up with a boating safety certificate from the state of Massachusetts, which is good in many other states on a reciprocity basis. It's a national curriculum that we use. So for instance, if you were going up to New Hampshire, they require you to have a boating safety certificate, and the one from Massachusetts will work for people going up there. As of now, Massachusetts does still not require people to have the boating safety certificate. Even though there's been talk about a requirement for many years, but it hasn't been legislated into existence yet.
And is there any cost at all for the classes?
Nope, the classes are free. We provide the manuals. There's no charge for the class.
Mike, I want to bring you in and ask you, how has the pandemic impacted the boating community and your marine unit as well?
Last year was really, really busy. There was a ton of people out on the water. I think a lot of people, you know, they looked around and said, you know, I can't do much of anything, but, you know, I can get on a boat and go out into the middle of the harbor and, you know, stay away from people, socially distance from people. So if you were in the market last year to buy a boat, it was not a good time to be, because there were, everything was bought up really quick, and everything. I think the boating industry has really exploded from this, and they're, you know, trying to keep up as well as they can. But it's actually been really good for that.
Do you worry that a lot of, you know, inexperienced boaters are going to find themselves out on the water without the proper education that could lead to some problems?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I know Bob got sidetracked over there.
Sorry about that. I'm in the parking lot and somebody just came by to ask me a question.
Always ready to help, the Quincy Police Marine Unit at the ready. But yeah, I was asking Bob, just for you to know, if you're worried about a lot of inexperienced new boaters, you know, going out on the water without the proper training and education.
We were pretty concerned last year because, as Mike was saying, so many people ended up saying, let's buy a boat because we can't go anywhere on any big trips. And we couldn't teach the boating safety classes, so we were concerned. But around here in the Quincy waters, people did really well. Like maybe it was just they just took it slow and easy. They weren't in a hurry. They were just out to get away from everybody and be on the water with the family, you know, and or do some fishing or whatever. There were some issues down farther down the South Shore. There were some accidents and stuff, but in Quincy we. For the amount of people on the water, we had a really good year. Everybody did the right thing. There wasn't much craziness out there, which was surprising to me. But I like to think that our boating courses have an impact, but maybe they had taken the course the class the year before.
Well, yeah, certainly. And that brings up a good point is if you have taken it before, you can take it again, right? There's no need not to have a refresher.
That's true. That's true. You are able to come in and sit again. Unfortunately, capacity will be pretty limited this year. Yeah. But we have had people that came back and said, "Oh, I took the course 15 years ago. I just want to get a refresher." And they're always welcome.
For folks who aren't able to take the course because of the capacity restrictions, are there some good resources you guys can recommend where they can at least get some basic information about boating safety?
There are some good resources on the Massachusetts Environmental Police website. Okay. They have most of the information that we go through in the class available on their website. They have pamphlets that are available that have all the information in them. There's lots of questions when new boaters get a boat about, you know, how do I register it and all that. That information is on their website. How to do that. And last year there were some issues with registering because COVID impacted the offices of the environmental police. We have to go to register your boat. But their website has lots of good information on it. All the requirements for life jackets, fire extinguishers, all sorts of safety equipment. They're all spelled out on the website there. The U.S. Coast Guard also has a lot of good information. And Coast Guard Auxiliary does as well. There is one new thing coming up of interest. As of April 1st, the Coast Guard, the federal government has implemented a new law requiring people to use their emergency shutoff switch on their boats if they have one. That's like a lanyard that you attach to your person, and the other end goes to a cutoff switch on your boat. So in case you fall over the side or you fall out of the operator's seat, the engine will immediately be stopped and you won't have a runaway boat situation. So that's a new federal law that the Coast Guard will be enforcing. I'm not sure how it's going to affect our enforcement. Obviously, we'll be educating people about it. But it's a good idea. That information, we posted a link to it on our on the Quincy Harbor Master webpage under links. There's a link to that new regulation there that people can go find, or they can just Google emergency cutoff switch regulation, Coast Guard.
Oh, okay. And it'll be attached at all times while you're on board?
There's a whole list of circumstances that come with it, when it needs to be attached, how it needs to be attached.
Okay.
It goes into effect on boats that were built starting in December of 2020.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a requirement on an older boat, but it is on the newer boats. As far as I've, from my reading, that's what I understand.
Okay. Mike, can we maybe just run down some of the basics for boating safety, things that folks should take with them and have with them and know before they head out on the water?
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I know we typically do the life jacket demonstration in studio, so we can't do that, unfortunately.
I don't have one to wear either, Joe, so I guess I did it. Not good planning on my part, I guess, but
I got two in the back. I mean,
yeah, I almost guarantee you there's one in there somewhere. Oh, there you go. But I would say definitely top of that list is life jackets, is making sure, you know, it's you need to have a life jacket for yourself and everybody else that's on your boat, one that properly fits them. You know, there's fire extinguisher requirements, there's noise making requirements, there's also you know, having a VHF radio, you know, while not a requirement, is just a really good idea. Because if you're out on the water and you get into help, you know, you get into trouble where you need help, having a VHF radio to be able to call for help, you know, the guy, you know, the boat next to you might be able to come over and help you, as opposed to waiting for the Coast Guard or the police to come and help you out. But try to think, fire extinguishers, there's signaling device requirements for as far as flares, daytime signals, nighttime signals that you're required to have. Trying to think, the
does it vary by vessel, you know, by size of vessel or power?
Yeah. That's basically, that's a big part of the course that we teach, is we go over, you know, there's this chart that has like the size of the vessel and what you're required to have on it. It's probably, out of the 12-hour course, it's probably a good 3 or 4 hours of it is talking about, you know, how many fire extinguishers you have, what size fire extinguisher they need to be, that kind of thing, you know, what kind of signaling devices, all that kind of stuff. And that's, there's a test that's part of the course as well. And a big part of the test is, you know, if you have a 16-foot boat, what, you know, how many nighttime signaling flares do you need on it, and that kind of thing, you know? But yeah, there's that, you know, there's other things we go over in the class as far as trailering your boat. Mm. Most people, when they buy a boat, you know, they start out with something small. They start out with something that they might be trailering back and forth, even if it's putting it in once a year or you know, every time you go, you're going to the boat ramp and putting it in. So we go over a bunch of that kind of thing. Yeah, we go over, there's a big component as far as, you know, rules of the road. There's, you know, the same way that, you know, that there's rules when you're driving your car, there's all these rules when you're driving your boat that you have to obey, so that you don't get into an accident with another boat, you know, that kind of thing.
Knowing the channel markers, things like that.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, you know, yeah, the right way to pass another boat when you're coming at each other and that kind of thing. There's a whole bunch of rules and laws that affect that. And we go over all that in the class. And that's the kind of thing that people, you know, when you buy a boat and you go out there, because you can't, you know, the state of Massachusetts, you don't need a license to buy a boat and drive it around. That's what we find a lot of people run into problems with, is they're ignorant about what the rules are or what the laws are. And, you know, they find themselves getting into trouble that way.
Sure. Yeah. Interacting with commercial vessels, right? What to do around the Four River Bridge, say, or the Neponset River Bridge, things like that.
You know, commercial vessels have right of way, sailing vessels have right of way over certain vessels. You know, if you're on a jet ski, that, you know, you have to, you know, yield to other types of vessels and that kind of thing.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. All great information. Sure. For sure to have. Are there actually restrictions on the hours you can be out on a boat? I mean, can I go out at 3 a.m. if I want?
Most boats you can. Yeah. I mean, for jet skis, like, jet skis don't have lights on them. And even if they did, you're not allowed to operate them at night.
Okay.
So, you know, anything, you know, anything with jet skis is purely during the day, during daylight hours. Okay. But most other boats, yeah, you can operate them at night. And operating a boat at night, because boats don't have headlights on them either, is a whole different animal. It's definitely the first time you're operating your boat at night, you don't want it to be the first time you're operating your boat at night. You know [S2] Right. [S1] What I mean? It's a whole different animal out there after dark, and it's very easy to get lost, turned around, and confused.
Yeah, or hit something or someone. Yeah.
Or run aground, or, you know, you get too shallow because you don't know where you are. It's operating at night is definitely very definitely increases the stress level on you. No doubt about that.
Sure. You're saying something, Bob? I'm sorry.
So part of the class is we do talk about vessel lighting and after hours, after daylight. You know, when you have to have navigation lights on and how to read navigation lights. So if you're out there at night, you can be a little bit more comfortable understanding what it is you're seeing.
Hmm.
some of the buoys have lights, some of the buoys don't. Other boats that are operating at night are supposed to have lights, but sometimes they don't. Around here, it's difficult at night because there's so much, so many lights on the shore. It's hard to see the buoys. If you're over in Quincy Bay, you can see all the traffic lights on Wollaston Beach. And it can get pretty confusing. But one of the big things, we deal with every spring is the water temperature. Mike talked about the requirements for life jackets. Basically anybody that's underway on a boat, that's under 12 years old has to have a life jacket on, but there's special rules for kayaks and, what do they call those things, Mike, the surfboards that you stand on about.
Stand up paddle boards.
Yeah. Between September 15th and May 15th, you have to have a life jacket on, in your kayak or canoe, or on your stand up paddleboard. Otherwise you, outside of those times, you always have to have one with you. So we see a lot of people on paddle boards that don't have a life jacket, but it is a state and federal requirement that they have a life jacket with them. When they're out paddling.
That's news, I think, to a lot of folks, myself included. It must be kind of awkward to try a paddleboard with a life jacket on.
They make some interesting things. There's one that's like a belt. It looks like a little fanny pack type of thing. Uh-huh. And it's it inflates with a CO2 cartridge. So you can have that around your waist. We see a lot of people with those. And then if you go into the water, you can manually pull a cord to inflate with CO2. And it comes out looking something like what you would see on an airplane.
Oh, all right.
Best on an airplane. That meets the requirements. They do make other types of life jackets that are inflatables. And we find that those are good for people that need to be able to, you know, exercise while they're out there, paddle their paddleboard or their canoe or kayak. But the water temperature is, probably right now it's barely 40 degrees.
Yeah.
If somebody were to fall into the water with a life jacket on, obviously they're going to be better off, but as somebody without, if they go into the water right now without a life jacket, they probably have about 20 minutes before they succumb to hypothermia, become unconscious, and then without a life jacket, they're going to drown. If they have a life jacket on, they could potentially last longer in the water. But that brings us to Mike's point about carrying a VHF radio or some way to communicate with land while you're out there. Because if you end up in the water, if you can call on a VHF radio, obviously you want to have a waterproof one and one that floats.
Yeah.
Then the Coast Guard or one of the harbor masters or police marine units should hear you and be able to come get you. Those are things we cover in the course, but it's just, you know, the weather's going to start getting really nice here. Like last week, it was beautiful. People start boating and they're like, oh, it's a beautiful day. And they go out on the water, and if they end up in the water, they really don't have any idea how cold that water is. It doesn't really warm up until the middle of June.
Right. Yeah. It could be 70 degrees and sunny in the air. And like you say, 40 degrees in the water. So takes a long time to cool down in the fall too. So it's, conversely, it's the same.
Yes.
In spring, yeah.
That's right.
I'm sorry, Mike, did you have something?
No. Okay. The only other piece of advice I could give people if they're getting ready to launch their boat is, for the season for the first time, is don't forget the plug. You know, people pull the plug, the drain plug, out of the back of the boat when it's up stored on land so that the rain water will come out, and then they put it back in the water, they forget, and as they're motoring around, they're wondering why their feet are getting wet, you know. So
good advice, forget the plug.
That's important. The other thing we see is if somebody has like an inboard or an inboard outboard engine, they'll forget to open the raw water intake valve, and the engine will overheat. We see that on a lot of first voyage of the spring, that they forget that. So they need to remember to do that. Otherwise, it overheats, starts smoking, and we're responding to a boat fire. So
it's okay. Important. Good pieces of advice. Bob, you mentioned that the Maritime Center is gone, but is there, as I understand, there's a new boat ramp. Is that right?
Yes, there's a beautiful new boat ramp there. Much, much better than the old one. So you can pretty much launch and retrieve your boat at almost any tide. Whereas before, it was somewhat restricted to right around high tide. So we have that new boat ramp there. The floats for that will probably be going in at the beginning of May. So there won't be any floats there until then. But there's also parking for people to park their trailers in the lot, in the main lot right there.
Okay, good. Was there actually any ice in the bay this winter?
There was a little bit, but not much.
Yeah, I think it pretty much stayed open for the most part, at least in this area. I don't know about further south.
Yeah, there was definitely some cold snaps where we got some skim ice, but yeah. As far as average year, I would say we had below average ice.
Sure. Now, are you will you both be instructors again this year for the classes?
Yes, we'll both be instructors for the classes along with a couple other guys in the unit.
Okay, very good. We should recap again for folks. The classes themselves are being put on by the Environmental Police Department, but they're taught by you here in Quincy, right?
Right. It's a collaboration between ourselves and the Environmental Police. They administer all the administrative stuff, and we do the actual teaching and give the test as well. So yes, we'll be doing that. And as soon as I get the schedule confirmed with them, I'll pass it to you. You can put it up, and then we'll have it on the Quincy Police Marine Unit webpage as well.
Okay, great. Look forward to that. Anything else you'd like to add?
I think we covered most of what we usually talk about each spring.
Yep. The only thing we didn't get to do is our in-studio demonstration.
And yeah.
I'm sure our audience is missing that.
this is an inflatable life jacket. So this is one that's, a lot more comfortable. This is the other one. This one isn't bad, but it is all, foam. So it's a little bit bulkier.
Yeah.
But there's many good choices. As I mentioned, that fanny pack one is good for the stand-up paddle boarders. And there's so many options out there. You can find one that's going to be comfortable for you. And it's important to wear it. As Mike always likes to say, if you're driving down the street and you don't have your seatbelt on and somebody crosses over the double yellow line heading for you, you don't have time to put your seatbelt on. It's the same thing with a life jacket. When things go wrong on the water, they go bad fast. And you can find yourself in the water before you know what happened. And if you don't have your life jacket on, you're in a lot worse situation than you would be if you did.
Yeah, when you need it right then.
Need it on.
Anything else, Mike?
And the vast majority of fatalities that happen from boating accidents are the people drown. Huh. It's because they get, it's not, because you hit the windshield or something like that. It's because you get launched out of the boat into the water and you don't have a life jacket on, so you drown. So that's why we're always so big on, promoting life jackets.
Absolutely. Really appreciate your time, guys. This has been good. I think it was important to get information out there. Because as you say, pandemic or not, there are going to be a lot of people taking to the ocean to find some respite, and it's most important to do it safe.
Thank you very much, Joe, for having us on. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Joe. Always a pleasure.
Likewise. All right. Be well.